Hello, folks. This is Scotty Roberts with the Intrepid Radio program. It is February the 14th, and we are on day two of the Exodus Reality Adventures.
We are indeed.
And I'm sat here with my cohort, Dr. John Ward.
Good evening, everybody.
And also with our good friend, Little Mo.
Hello, welcome.
And we are in the camp of Sheikh Salim. And John, I'm going to have you come on and say a few words about where we are here at Serebet El Khedim, the significance of this place,
yep,
and the significance of who we're talking with.
Well, guys, we've finally arrived at one of the most favored spots by Scotty and myself during the Exodus Reality Adventures. Now, as most of you know, Serebet El Khedim features quite prominently in our book, The Exodus Reality. And as most of you also know, that the actual site itself, it pertains to the Temple of Hathor and Ptah, or more likely the shrine itself with all the many chambers with the stelae erected by the various different viziers who visited the area during the course of their mining expeditions. Now, the prestigiousness of the site is not just actually Serebet El Khedim, but is actually, as Scotty just said, Sheikh Salim, who is our host here at Serebet El Khedim.
And where are we sat right now?
Well, at the moment, we actually sat in the Bedouin tent of Sheikh Salim himself. He's put on an absolutely amazing meal for all of us. The whole gang is here. We've had rice, chicken, soup, Bedouin tea, shai, salad, everything. Thank you, Mo. And it's a wonder. We've got an open fire situated.
And
just
we're sitting cross-legged as old men.
Old man.
As old men. Old men. He won't admit that on air.
So. But no, seriously, guys, it's an amazing place, and the Sheikh Salim has really gone all out this time. But what I want to do is bring Mo in here. Little Mo, can you ask Sheikh Salim for us? What is his full name, please?
اسمك بالكامل لشيخ سليم.
شيخ سليم بركات سليم من سرابيط الخادم جنوب سيناء. برحب بالزائرين من جميع ناحية العالم.
That's a name and a half. Mo, can you say that again?
Salim Barakat Salim from Sarabit Al Khadim, West Sina, Ganub Sina. That's all.
Fantastic. Scotty, and you thought you had a long name?
I thought I had a long name. Now, Sheikh, we would love to get a little bit more about you personally. Tell us a bit about your family, about your personal family, where you came from, why you are referred to as Sheikh, because the people back home listening to this may not have any of this kind of information. So tell us about you.
بيسألك عن ال أنت ناسك أبوك وإزاي عايشين وإزاي عيشتك العائلية متجوز كام ومعك كام عيل وكده.
أبوي كان قاعد مكاني هنا في السرابيط.
His father he stay here before in the same place.
كان شيخ.
He sheikh like for the Bedouin, for every family, the big one, his name sheikh.
وجده.
And his grandfather.
وعيلته.
All the family.
بعد ما توفى أبوي مسكت أنا مكان أبوي.
After his father died, he sheikh Salim. Before he sheikh Barakat Salim. Now, after his father died, his name sheikh Salim Barakat Salim.
Meshi.
All right. Now, is your role, your position here, as the chief of your family, the area, and in a sense their protector, and their guardian?
أنت كبير العيلة بتاعتكم هنا.
كل كبير المنطقة كلها.
He for all the big for all the area, the sheikh, like he control all the area here.
Now, is that similar to if there's a problem within the family?
He finished.
They would come to him.
Yes,
they would come to him.
Yes,
to,
yes.
And does that also
like the umda in our village?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And does that also extend to actual civil law, the law of Egypt? If there was a problem with, say, crime,
yes,
would they first come to the sheikh to sort that out before going to
before,
the police?
That's true. Like we do in our Luxor, mm-hmm, if we go to like Sheikh Tayyib or Umda to finish our problems.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So are you, in a sense, a judge as well.
أنت لك زي القاضي يعني أنت بتحكم. Exactly.
Judge and jury.
Yes.
All in one, really.
Yes. He make all the family. He decide what if you are wrong or you are right. He decide everything about everybody.
And what he says is the last word. That's it.
That's the law. Oh, that's good. Then. You are the law.
He's nodding yes. For all the
villages. Okay. There is a question I have, and Mo, you're going to have to really translate this well. Yes. Okay. How has the political turmoil in Egypt over the last 2 years, how has that affected Sheikh Salim? Yeah, since the revolution has started, how has that affected Sheikh Salim?
بعد الثورة ما خلاص كله وقف ما فيش حد يروح ولا حد يبي
بس العيلة بتاعتهم زي ما هي
قاعدة زي ما هي قاعدة
nothing in a problem in the village he the same position nothing changed just because he said no business and
so it really hasn't affected him really
no at all
no
yes. Has it affected your area here at all
nothing he's still the same
which is fantastic
he is a judge for all the village not the government
okay excellent yes. And now I didn't explain really well very well guys at the beginning where Scotty was saying to us where we're sat and that's inside the Bedouin tent now of Sheikh Salim so I'm going to ask little Mo can you explain to us because you'll be able to explain this better asking Sheikh Salim what is it we're actually sitting in what is this
اللي احنا قاعدين فيها هنا
خيم البدوي
the Bedouin tent
and how traditional is this
يعني دي من
مجدودنا
from the grandfather that's like our house
الخيمة بتاعت أمي هي اللي عملت وأنا قاعد فيها
دي قديمة هي
قديمة هي وقاعد فيها
this tent very old from his father mother he do it by the hand all the work and this he still have this
أمي عندها 120 سنة دلوقت
عايشة
كم سنة
his mother 120 years she still alive
والله
أيوة
لا والله 120 that's 120 years guys and she's still alive today alhamdulillah salam nabi alhamdulillah
حتى وانا محتفظ
she do all the work by hand
كل ما تعمل حاجه نسويها زي ما كان زي ما هي نفس الكلام اللي هي
everything wow. still the same they didn't change anything
and what is the
كان قاعد فيه وجدي كان قاعد
and his father and the grandfather is still here
And what is the material? Because I'm looking at it, we've got a black roof, but the walls are kind of cream, and it's all material. But what's it made of?
That's from the.
The goat?
The goat, yes.
The goat.
Sir, yes, the goat. The kharuf? That's from the sheep.
From the sheep?
That's camel.
Oh, and the walls are woven. They have striping in the walls.
That's the same as this.
Right. So we've got a mixture of goat hair, camel hair, and sheep hair,
yes.
All woven together to produce these huge that's blankets,
yes.
Which make the actual tent itself.
Take long time to fix everything.
And I mean, we've got there's no metal fixings at all. It's we've got what it looks like a dried what's that bamboo sticks and all kinds of old dried sticks.
And if it's raining, the water is not.
It can't come in.
No.
So it's kind of waterproof naturally.
Yes.
Wonderful. But we do know, Sheikh Salim, that you actually have your own house. So how long ago was it that the Bedou? When they lived in the Sinai, lived in tents like this, and then transferred into actual brick-built houses.
أنت من أمتى بدأت تعيش في البيوت؟ الأول كنت عايشين في الخيام. من أمتى بدأت تعيش في البيوت؟
بيت الأسمنت والحجازي. الأسمنت كلها من 30 سنة عشنا فيه. من زمان كله في الخيام.
Before 30 years ago, they live. Everybody lived in the tent.
Everybody lived in tents 30 years ago.
Starting from 30 years ago, starting to come at the house.
وأنا بتمنى للبدو يفضوا في عادته اللي زمان. بقول لهم خليكم حماسكين زي زمان. ما يروحوش المدينة يظلوا هنا.
He liked all the Bedouin people. They still here with the tent. He not like the people live in the city and have a modern building.
But what was the desire to build modern housing compared to the tents?
طب ايه اللي بتبني البيت ازاي بتاعكم انت الحديث حاليا؟
الحديث ده بسمنت بطوب عادي.
اوضه واوضتين، ايه نظام؟
اوضتين وحوش ومطبخ وحمام عادي.
الحوش ايه فيه؟
حوش صغير كده
يعني للضيوف وكده؟
اه بس
Just you have a sitting room and kitchen and sleeping room and bathroom.
So is the desire to have more separate rooms rather than one big room, really?
Yes. Okay.
Now, what is your... You're about 30 miles from the Red Sea?
No.
كم كيلو من البحر الأحمر؟
من أبو دنيمة لغاية هنا؟ خمسة وخمسة.
البحر الأحمر.
خمسة
أحمر أبو دنيمة من البحر لغاية هنا.
من البحر أبو دنيمة.
من أبو دنيمة اللي كنا فيها النهار.
تمام. لا البحر لا. البحر مش قريب، البحر الأحمر قريب عليك؟
لا كله.
ضم البحر حوالي كم كيلو؟
55.
لا من البحر.
من البحر لغاية هنا.
55 kilometers.
No, 55 kilometers, whatever that is in miles. Now, what is your... you're out here in the middle of the desert, the wilderness, the Rocky Mountains out here. What is your water situation like here? Where does your water come from for drinking?
المياه تجيكم من وين؟
المياه بتجينا من المطر.
من المطر.
ما فيش مطر، ما فيش مياه.
So you from the rain.
Yes.
But you see, do you have a beer?
Yes.
A well?
Yes.
في أبوي زمان حافر هرابة.
His father.
ودلوقتي
موجودة فيها المية.
And how deep did he have to dig?
كم
هرابة 100 متر. أنا دلوقتي فكرت.
كم العمق بتاعها قد إيه؟
عمق 10 في 100 متر مربع.
10 by 100.
10 by 100.
Yes.
To collect the water.
دلوقتي أنا فكرت حاجة، عملت خزان صغير على حتة نازلة، وفي مية دلوقتي ممكن بكرة أو النهار لا عايزين يشوفونه وريهم من المطر.
If you like to see now, he makes a tank. That's what he is thinking. To
right.
Make the tank better than the water just leave like this. Maybe not clean. Maybe they have.
And how many houses does that serve? Is it just for his house or is it for the village? Because I mean,
المية دي البيوت كلها هنا ولا
لينا.
For himself only.
Yes, yes.
So everybody else has their own water system.
Yes. But if his neighbor or his cousins, they need anything, he give him.
Okay.
And I do by myself,
yes.
I have to work and he do.
Yes. So how many people actually live now within this small little community here?
كم واحد في عائلتك حاليا عايشين معك؟ مراتك وعيالك.
وعيالتي بتاع 30
في البيت أسرة. في البيت لا في البيت نفس البيت
في نفس البيت يعني ثلاثة عيال والبيت
وانت ومراتك
وانا
he and his wife and they have three boys and one girl
so there's six of you altogether
but that's from the new wife but he have an old wife he have five boys and two girls That's so big and engineer and the
wow.
To the city.
And then in the surrounding village.
No, they not live. No, they not live with them here. Some people live in a tour. Some people in the downtown here, away from him. Everybody have his work, his job, and he.
But we see other houses around us. So how many people within this actual village itself?
How
many? يعني في حدود 850
about 850 بس
wow that's
the man كان قليل دلوقتي
before very little people but now it's grow up
وفي ناس راحت أبو دنيم ولا راح الشرم
some people leave to شرم الشيخ
ما فيش مصلح
for about the food to for the work and this
and what do they do for yeah well that's going to be my next question what do you do for money when you have a community of say 800 in the desert what are you doing
بتاعتكم والعيشة
العيشة عندنا معيش بنربيها بنبيع منها عندنا جمال
دي هافا كاملز دي هافا
ما فيش في سياحة ما فيش سياحة عندنا معيش شوية خشب بنبيع نازلة ذا ونبيع
and from the wood
نعمل منه فحم زي ذا بنبيع
they make coal
شكارة كمان
and they sell
لازم عشان اكل ازاي اكل عيش كيف افكر مستنيك لما انت تجي تقول
I think I understood that, but we won't translate it. So, we've got a community of about 700 people. We've, and I don't want to dwell on this, but we've got a revolution that's happened in Egypt. We've got almost zero tourism coming to the area. things must be rather difficult, really, at this present moment for people who've relied on tourism within the Sinai itself, like Sheikh Salim.
السياحة هنا الناس كلها شغالة على السياحة ولا ناس بسيطة يعني زي أنت واحد تاني وخلاص.
لا ناس بسيطة. ناس بسيطة. كل واحد خبرة. واشتغلنا فيها من أبوه وتعلم من جد خبرة اشتغل فيها فاهم الناس فاهم ذا وفاهم فاهم شغله كيف يروح. مش كل واحد.
Not everybody here.
في موظف. في الجامعة.
Working with the tourists. All the people. Working here like in the mosque, in the government, or in the government, different jobs.
Okay. With regards to what the Sheikh has seen over the past 30 years, I mean, we've already discussed the fact that he's moved from a tent into a modern kind of housing. What would he say would be, what would he like to see in the next 30 years?
إيه أحلامك أنت بعد 30 سنة من قبل 30 سنة كنت عايشين في الخيام حاليا ابتديت من 30 سنة تعيش في البيوت الأسمنت وكده
بالنسبة
إيه أحلامك أنت بعدين
والله أنا أحلامي بعدين دي حاجة ثانية يعلم بها غير رب
ماشي بس أنت إيه تفكيرك يعني
يعني تفكيري حيعيش يمكن أحسن من كده ما أنا عارف بس أنا مش متوقع أعيش أحسن من كده اللي كانوا عايشين زينا قدامنا وأبهاتنا كانوا عيش حلو
We have better life before than today, and we maybe the people they have they building more houses and more modern. But for me, I like this life much better.
Yeah, so it's more the traditional.
Yes.
So he doesn't really want to see that much change, really.
No.
But what about the children? What about education and so forth?
Yeah, like the future of them, what you think of them, what they will be.
The future of all the employees, the workers, and every one has a job. And I'm teaching.
They're in
education. Yeah, in education, in the
school. All his children, they study now, and after the studies, he have work in the government, and maybe they move outside here, but he's still here.
But doesn't that cause a problem with being more traditional? Because if the children are leaving to go and have jobs in the city, they're not going to come back to live like Bedouin in the desert after having, say, an apartment in Cairo or Zamalek, say, having a wonderful job with the government and earning money. What would then bring them back to the desert to live like a Bedouin? I think that would be a problem, yes?
عيالك دلوقتي يعني هيبتدوا يشتغلوا في الحكومة ممكن يروحوا المدينة ممكن نروح القاهرة ممكن يشوفوا السكن أحسن مودرن أحسن من كده
والله هم عند رغبتهم أنا بقول لهم إحنا شغلنا كذا وأبوي كان شغال كذا وأنا شغلي
بس كده أنت تفتقدوا العيشة بتاعتكم العيشة البدوية يعني تنقرض شوية بشوية تنقرض
ما تنقرض وانقرضت دلوقتي في مش حاجة يعني قليل نادر لما تلقى واحد عنده بيت شعر نادر مش كله
Now they starting away from the Bedouin life just No, just a few people, they have the stand like this. Everybody now they think about modern life. Just they think like they see the people live in the city and they like it to copy the same life and everything, even here.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a problem then, really, isn't it?
Yes. They say now, step by step, we don't have modern life here.
Yeah.
He scared them.
Yeah.
فأنا بقول لهم بقول للشباب والناس اللي عندي هنا
He tell all the people and the young boys
بقول لهم بالنسبة للناس اللي بيسيقوا من أوروبا
About the people come from Europe
وشوفوا السرابيط وشوفوا سينا
About to visit us here
كل حاجة موجودة عندهم عندهم فنادق وعندهم
They have modern life and they have everything
زي مصر وزي أحسن كمان من مصر
They have much better than Egypt and they have good houses
جايين شوفوا طبيعتنا عايشين عليها جدك وابوك زمان في البيت
والنار our life here, the
والجمل
life, the...
والمعزة والحياة اللي انت عايش فيها العيش البسيطة الحلوة ما فيش فيها دوشة وفيها
the normal life be quiet life to our Bedouin life
So I think what I'm understanding here is what the Sheikh is saying is that the European tourists that are coming here they see the way he lives they're actually rejecting the way they live in Europe and would prefer to live like the Sheikh, in a more traditional manner as Bedouin. They think it's a much better life.
أنت بتفكر أن الناس الأوروبيين عجبهم العيشة هنا أحسن من عيشتهم هناك
لا بعيشة على الخيمة طبعا البدوي والنار والولع حد يشوفوه كل الناس
زي
ما أنا عاد روح السعودية بشوف حاجة ثانية يعني.
Like for us
أي واحد
He say for us here if we have Bedouin life and we go to the modern, something like different for us, and we like it live there.
Yeah.
For the Arab people, the same. Just if they live at the modern and they see here, be quiet and and nice life.
I understand that.
They like it, yes, they like it to live here.
But that's the same. I mean, as you know, Mo, the times I've spent the months in the desert, I prefer to live in the desert rather than live where I live in the village in Luxor. It's a much better life. It's a much easier life. It's a much quieter life, and one can get on with one's work. So I can actually emphasise with that. But what about you, Scott? I mean, what you live? I've been to your home in America, and I've been there, and I've walked around the supermarkets, which are far superior to what we have either in Luxor or even in Cairo. When you're sat here with the Sheikh, and inside his tent, what's going through your mind as an American?
As an individual, I prefer the quiet here. I like this. I like the surroundings. I once had lived out in the country myself, and I don't like the city. I live in the city for convenience, not because that's what I would really like to do. I prefer this lifestyle that you have.
Yes.
You can just let him know, Mo, that I prefer what he has here.
Okay. I will like احنا عايشين في امريكا في مودرن وفي حاجات تكنولوجيا بس احنا عجبتنا العيش هنا ونحب نعيش في البلد الهادئ في الهدوء والعيشه البسيطه يحبوها يعني
تمام انا حاسس بيه
he feeling about you you like it to live at be quiet a place
yes and it's going to be very hard to leave here again because we came this afternoon and John and I climbed up in the mountains on the side here and we just sat up there high above the camp and just sat in the peace and the quiet and it was wonderful and let me ask you Sheikh what is the significance to you of Sirabit al-Khadim
ايه بالنسبه لك مثل سرابيط الخادم
بالنسبه معبد بزورو جميع
بس بالنسبه لك انت
بالنسبه لي تاريخ تاريخ
my history
fantastic answer
yes
you can't give it, you can't give a better answer than that but what about the as an archaeologist I mean we're seeing the problems all over Egypt with regards to the looting and so forth of the temple sites and so forth, all the way up and down Egypt. But here at Sirabit al-Khadim, we don't have those problems, thankfully, alhamdulillah. But what does the Sheikh think about this? What's his thoughts on that, about the looting and so forth? I want to understand, or I want to know what he feels about the problems that Egypt is having at the moment with regards to its history.
يعني أنت المعابد إحنا بيقول أنا كدكتور أثار نشوف في مشاكل الناس مش مستهمة بالمعابد وممكن في ناس تسرق المعابد وكده فأنت إيه نظرتك للمعبد سرابيط الخادم
المعبد ده تاريخ
تمام
لازم كل حتى ابن عيد وأصغر من عيد بكلمه وقوله ده تاريخ
تمام.
لازم كله نحافظ عليه
تمام
عشان في ناس بتجيله من آخر العالم تشوفه
تمام
أنا لا أنا ولا أنت ولا واحد يقدر يعمل حاجة زي كده
He said that's our history and I teach my children that's I tell them about that's our history The people come from long ways, travel long way to see our history here. Why we not protect our history? Why we not look after? Why the people come from long way and we miss a lot of things here? We have to look after everything.
Wonderful.
Now, was your, if I understand correctly, your father, your great-grandfather, your grandfather or great-grandfather, were they familiar with the archaeologist Flinders Petrie, who came here?
Great question.
الناس الدكاترة الآثار أبوك وجدك في صداقة بينهم.
The late 1800s Flinders Petrie archaeologist came
يعني
here.
يعني في ناس في 1800 فيش حد يعني كان يساعدهم كان يتعرف عليهم في ناس جات على فكرة من زمان
لا ما حد عارف عنهم حاجة
nobody look after just they look for them life and nobody look for the just
but it was a totally different way of life then I mean Actually, that's a good question. What was your father's father, your grandfather, were they more nomadic or did they actually stay in one area?
هو كان عايش في مكان واحد ولا كان يتنقل جدك
جدي كان في مكان واحد زي ما احنا عايشين
just he lived like this
just but did they move around the valley or did they just stand a few واحد
لا المرعى والكلام ده كان يرعى كان يتنقل مكان ولا نفس
المكان مش بعيد بس حوالين المكان
just around this area but he not too far away
but no right so they did move within the area
yes
so it's very unlikely then that they met Well, they would have met Flinders Petrie when he came and discovered Serabit Halkhanim, but they wouldn't necessarily have worked with him because, especially during that period, the Bedouin weren't actually looked at with nice eyes, let's be honest. I mean, yes. let's be honest about it. Yes. They weren't really respected. They were looked at as Bedouin, you know, the people, the sand people, the desert dwellers. So the people would have come in from Cairo and worked with Flinders Petrie. So that's actually very interesting.
So did you know that... The archaeologist Flinders Petrie had put forth the theory that this Serabit El-Khadim is the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, found in the scriptures.
What's his name?
Flinders Petrie.
Flinders Petrie.
Flinders. Mm-hmm. That's his English or...
Yes, English.
Or English. Ya zaman, ayyam jaddak. ما كانش حد يقابله أو يتعرف عليه أو يساعده.
Connection to Moses.
انت عارف طبعا سربيت الخادم دي من أيام سيدنا موسى.
من قديم.
بالضبط.
بس أنا ما سمعتش حاجة ولا حد قال له على حاجة.
He's never his grandfather tell him thing about this.
Okay.
Right. But have you yourself?
He knows about yes.
Oh, he knows about it himself.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, that I thought you were bringing something.
I'm sorry, I've just had some more Bedouin tea, so I'm a little bit spaced out.
As you know, we wrote our book. We came here last year to look for Moses at Serabit El-Khadim.
جاوهم السنة الفاتت عشان يكتبوا الكتاب بتاعهم وبالفعل كتبوا الكتاب بتاعهم عشان سربيت الخادم
جاية كل الناس هيجوا
سربيت الخادم من
أيوة جاية
من أيام سيدنا موسى.
أيام سيدنا
موسى. أي بالضبط. فهم يدرسوا الحاجات دي.
So the book you've got with your picture in it is all about. It's about. It ends for my particular theory with Amenhotep son of Hapu. It finishes with Hapu being on Serabit El-Khadim and coming down to the people, the survivors of Thebes, from Luxor.
Yes.
They've come all the way. They've walked all the way from Luxor to here. And this is where they've come to. And Hapu stands on top of the mountain and he comes down after speaking with God. And he comes down with the new Ten Commandments, so to speak, but in a different version.
الملك كان طبعا في لوكسور وبعد كده عدى على تل العمارنة بعد كده جه هنا كله ده جه مشي من لوكسور لغاية هنا جه مشي طبعا خدوا أيام وبتل لغاية ما وصلوا عشان يحافظوا على الناس اللي كانوا هنا ويساعدوهم.
I think one of the final questions I'd like to ask Scotty before we wrap this up is that if the Sheikh had anything to say to the outside world, because this is going to go everywhere,
world.
Okay, so if he has a message for the world, what would it be?
لو أنت معك رسالة هتوديها للعالم كله الكلام ده كله هتعرض على العالم كله فأنت لو في رسالة عايز توصلها للعالم هتقولها هنا وهتوصل للعالم كله كل الناس هتسمعها
بقول للعالم كله أي واحد قاعد في مكان يحافظ عليه نمرة واحد صار له تاريخ لكل واحد تاريخ للعالم كله بتبرر بيه
He tell everybody if he near the temple or near the tomb He have to look after this. He tell all the world. That's history. We have to keep our history to look after. That's his message for all the world.
History for all mankind.
We have value.
He look after.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Sheikh, thank you very much. We are all done out of time. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Salim. Thank you very much. And thank you, little Mo.
Yeah, right.
Thank you for being the translator.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So you're not producing this evening. You're actually in front.
I hope I translate so well.
You did indeed. You can go back to licking your pigeon, what do you
pigeon, know? Grease-stained fingers.
Grease-stained fingers.
All right, folks, this has been Scotty Robertson,
and
Dr. John Ward. And we've been talking to Sheikh Barakat, Sheikh Salim, here at Sarabat el-Khadim in the Sinai. And we will be back again tomorrow night with another update.
We will be. Take care.
Mo, say good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you, Sheikh.
Thank you, Sheikh.
Salam.
Salam.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.